6-7.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7, and a rotating chair of hosts here on the show this week, Coach Dunn. I'm Jacob Goins from On the Line, 2 to 4 here on ESPN 106.7. Stayed in the same chair, same mic, and same location. And, man, we're excited for what is going to be a fun show on this Thursday, January 15th, 2026. Again, I'm Jacob Goins. We've got Drew over there running the show, and Coach Don Dunn, who the most consistent guy in the station all week long, my friend. It's so good to see you.
Hey, you too, buddy. And I really appreciate you staying. I mean, it's hard to do 2 hours, but four in a row. And I'm so happy that you're here. I always get nervous when I look out the window and I don't see any cars pulling up. But you've been here, and I really appreciate you. I enjoy listening to your show. You do a great job.
Well, I appreciate that.
And you're broadcasting with the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah.
Little Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, yeah, the Auburn High Tigers.
But
yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day, but it is cold.
Ooh, yes, it's cold.
And it's going to be cold tonight.
Hey, you and I understand that. You live in Kentucky for a while.
Yeah.
I grew up in Ohio. Man, we're not – this is nothing new to us.
Right, and I coached at Montana State.
Oh, I forgot
in Bozeman,
about that.
So, my wife had to get her hair done this morning early at like 7:30. Oh, it's cold. I said, what are you talking about? You lived in Montana.
Yeah, she forgets that, doesn't
she? That's right. But
yeah.
Thanks for being here, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, man. We're excited. We're going to have a fun show for you here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. All sorts of news going on throughout the sports world. The transfer portal for Auburn football continues to grow as the Tigers pick up another offensive lineman, this time from Oregon State. We'll talk about him and what he brings and what that rotation could look like on the O-line for Auburn and Alex Golish in the year 2026. Also, Auburn basketball goes on the road in Falls last night to Missouri in a game that has me concerned, Coach, and a lot of Auburn fans concerned, too.
Yeah, looked pretty good early.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of it, switching back and forth between the Kentucky game, which I'm a Kentucky boy.
Yeah.
Grew up listening to Adolph Rupp and the old transistor radio.
Classic, yeah.
And Rupp's runts, and I'm telling my age. But anyway, I was watching the Auburn game. And at a timeout, I switched to the Kentucky game, and they were down 16-3.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to Auburn, and I thought, hey, you know, we're up, we're doing well. And then I went to bed and checked my phone, and we lost. So,
isn't that crazy how that works in college basketball? Your Cats were down 38-22 at the half.
I know.
Can you believe that? So you went to bed. Did you get to see the buzzer beater?
Oh, yeah, I saw
that. Okay, good. Okay,
but
good.
I was kind of dozing in and out because, you know, I get up in the middle of the night like a nut.
But, I don't see how you do that.
crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Dang, you know, we look so good against Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Completely dominate them.
Yeah.
I mean, on every aspect.
Just ran them out of the gym.
Now, Missouri's not bad. They got a lot of length. They're tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw them beat Kentucky's butt at Rupp a couple of days ago. So, this is an interesting league this year.
It is.
It's not, you know, last year, I don't think there was a better league ever, maybe in the last 20 years. This year, kind of top heavy, maybe middle. I don't know, but you can lose any night in this league.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Last year, the SEC broke a record for the amount of teams that made the NCAA tournament, and two teams in the Final Four.
Right.
I don't think we're going to get either one of those this year.
It'll be tough
in college basketball. So we're going to dive into that today here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Again, more transfer portal stuff, plus cheating scandals in college basketball that broke today, and a growing story as the day goes on. Tons to get to here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Again, I'm Jacob Goins. He is Coach Don Dunn. Phone lines are open all show long on this Thursday afternoon. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, you can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar. No Bill, no Dan. Both back on Monday, I believe. It's what they say,
yes.
Coach. Bill's on a cruise. He may not come back. And Dan's traveling the country in terms of Troy women's basketball.
And they were struggling, but they won. won last night.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And hey, speaking of women's basketball, here on ESPN 106.7 tonight, as soon as we're done, a little bit later this evening, Auburn women's basketball will be broadcasted here with a good friend of mine, Britt Bowen of the Auburn Sports Network. They have Alabama coming in for the Iron Bowl of women's basketball. Right. A top 25 Alabama team comes to Neville Arena, so you can catch that radio broadcast. 7:45 pregame with tip-off at 7 for Auburn women's basketball here on ESPN. And so let's talk some more basketball. We'll start the show with that, since that's the news on the hardwood, where Auburn goes on the road last night to Missouri, favored against Missouri last night, and just couldn't get it done, Coach. You said that you thought they looked pretty good in the first half, fall apart in the second half. And look, this was a game in a stretch, really, for Auburn that we were hoping they would build on the win Saturday from Arkansas, right? You beat the Razorbacks 95-73, felt like it was 30 or 35 for most of that time, and you were hoping in this three-game stretch against Missouri, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, that Auburn was going to build on some wins against teams that you're better than, teams that you're more talented than, and teams that you're probably going to be favored against. That didn't happen last night.
No.
And you probably played one of your worst games of the season, and you come away and you lose by 10.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Ole Miss goes to Georgia and beats Georgia in overtime, I believe.
Yeah, so, on another buzzer beater.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Just kind of missing something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
I do. I mean, here's the problem, right? Here's the problem that we've been talking about for this team is – on most nights, Keyshawn Hall is going to give you 25, 30 points because he's one of the most pure scorers I have seen in college basketball in quite some time.
Yeah, he's special.
But last night you didn't. You didn't get that from him last night. You got 10. You got 10 from Keyshawn Hall. He also was flirting with a triple-double, 9 boards, 7 assists. In a game like that, that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. That's good enough for me from Keyshawn Hall.
Yep.
And we've been asking for other guys to step up and contribute. And I think you got that. I think you got it from Sebastian Williams-Adams, who gave you 12 points, 3 rebounds, and a block.
Yep.
I think you got it from Kevin Overton to an extent. His shooting wasn't great, but gave you 13 points, and that's good enough from him. You also got 13 points from Elijah Freeman, who's really starting to feel comfortable and look good in this offense.
Yes.
And so you get all of that. Keyshawn Murphy played well. 9 points, 8 boards, Coach. That's good enough for the guy who's considered your five, your starting center.
Yeah.
Then there's Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah.
Who had just 9 points, 3 of 12 shooting, 3 boards, 2 assists, a turnover in there, but was in foul trouble for a lot of this basketball game. That is where Auburn is missing. That's what they're missing on the offensive end of the floor. And you get in a game like this where Missouri hits some shots. They had a dude go off who had a season career night, as they typically do, right? And Auburn could not find a way to get stops on the defensive end of the floor. And when buckets weren't falling, they simply just weren't engaged in the basketball game, Coach. What do you think about a team when things aren't going your way, when the team kind of mentally checks out of things?
Yeah, that's the toughest part of coaching. How do you press that button? How do you get them to refocus? You know, you drift out of it. Like you said, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not engaged. How do you get them back? That's the million-dollar question. Sometimes you make a substitution. You bench a good player, a star player. You just chew them out a little bit. but does that happen nowadays?
Yeah.
And I think Coach Pearl's a good coach. Mm-hmm. I think he's a disciplinarian. I told Brian Matthews last night on the show, I admire him benching those two kids for being late.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, especially when you're a first-year coach and there's a lot of pressure on you.
Mm-hmm. And one of them being Tahad Pettiford, your star player.
Yeah, your, quote, leader.
Yeah.
I admire him for that. And, you got to do it. And,
yeah.
But I don't – that's a great question. How do you get – what do you do? What buttons do you push? I remember Bobby Knight, as you well know, being from Ohio and that area of the country. He said the best motivator is the bench. Your butt on the wood.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say it like that. But nowadays, They'll transfer.
Well, and what's so hard, too, and Christian and I were talking about this earlier during our show, is not only will they transfer, but you've got money on the line right now. You have millions of dollars that you're paying these kids, and the pressure as a head coach to play the guys that are being paid by the big money people behind your program.
Exactly.
That's really hard to deal with.
And then you start losing some games, and those big money people start yakking, and there's tons and tons of pressure. Much more. I always tell you, I miss coaching. I miss it, but I don't miss all this craziness.
Yeah, I can't imagine the difference.
The calendar, the portal, getting mad and leaving. Who are you going to have next year? Who are you going to have next week? You know, it's just tough deal.
It's stressful, no doubt about it. Auburn again loses to Missouri 84-74 last night on the road. Trailed by just 4 in the first half at halftime.
Yeah.
After an up and down first half, I think is the best way to describe that. And you just couldn't find multiple answers on both ends of the floor last night. Phone lines are open again if you want to be a part of this conversation here on the drive, 334-321-1390. Every time Auburn got a bucket or two, Missouri got a bucket or two. Every time Auburn got a stop or two, Missouri got a stop or two. The Tigers, the Orange and Blue Tigers, that is, could not string all of that together, and that was really, really tough. But then on top of this conversation that we're having, Coach, it's the comments from Stephen Pearl that have me concerned. I don't know if you saw these from last night.
I did not.
Between what he told Andy Burcham on the Auburn Sports Network postgame show over on Wings 94.3 and what he said in the postgame press conference, he said, based off of what he saw in the 24, 36 hours leading up to this game, he said, we probably lost before we got here. Meaning he talked about not seeing the attention and effort and the engagement in shoot around, not seeing it in film, not seeing it in practice, and he said we probably lost this game before we even got here.
Wow,
what's your thoughts on a quote like that from the head coach?
Well, that means he's got some leadership problems, some guys that are not buying in, not like you said, not you know attention to detail, probably body language. Slumping over in their chairs, little things like that you look at as a coach. Being late, when you got two guys late, that's not good.
Yeah, not good at all.
Maybe one time, I understand. But
yeah, life happens.
It's a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to say that and admit that, he might be one of these guys that's going to tell it like it is.
Well, I think he has in the media availabilities we get throughout the week and post-game and things like that. He has been very open, very honest, and I've even said sometimes too critical of his team, even in big wins.
You got to be careful. And man, I was a hard-nosed coach.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that.
No fun done was my nickname. But anyway,
no fun done.
But you got to be very careful. Every kid's different. It's like raising children. You may have 3 children. You know, the one son you can browbeat, the second one you got to hug all day long, and the third one you just hit him with a ruler. But I'm kidding with that. But you have to know your team, and it's so hard nowadays. There's so much social media, outside interests, people pulling at them at every angle, making money, like you said. How do you motivate some of these guys every day?
And that seems to be the issue with some of these guys right now for Auburn.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And being a first-year coach, there's more pressure on him. But he cannot change his philosophy and the way he coaches for a kid. You know, it's got to be just get them together. And winning solves everything, but you'd think after a big win after Arkansas, they wouldn't have had those problems.
I think that's the
disappointing. Could be some immaturity. You know, just maybe some of them are spoiled. You know, they're getting too much.
Yeah, could be. And I think you said it right there, Coach. It's the idea for Auburn fans in particular who were excited coming into this 3-game stretch against teams, as I mentioned, that you are better than and going to be favored against in terms of the betting lines, where you got a huge win, your best win of the season against Arkansas this past Saturday. Against a great team, a team that I still think is probably the best in the SEC.
Yeah. Hall of Fame coach, the whole nine yards.
And
you beat them. You didn't just
– You smacked them.
Yes.
You did. You smacked them around.
Played with enthusiasm, hustle, shared the ball, rebound, ran. Great bench. I always watch the benches. If those guys are slumped over, not cheering, I think that's a problem too.
Sure.
So, you know, the sideline, you know, body language, that's a, kind of a new word in the last 10 years, body language. But it's important, and I'm like you. Golly, I don't know if I could ever coach basketball.
It's, yeah, mean, it's hard, man.
You beat a great team, and then 2 days later, you get beat.
Yeah. But,
did you see Calipari's?
I did.
That
yes,
was hilarious.
I
He's
did.
A nut.
He is a nut. Nut. Yeah. I love going to his post game yeah. press conferences
because he'll say anything.
Oh, he will. He's an open book, and yeah. There's not really any formality in his press conferences.
He might say anything.
He'll say anything, and it's just off the cusp. If you got a question, it's like it's like a presidential press conference where it's just question after question after question. He's just looking and pointing and doing whatever, and oh no, he'll say anything.
And then he'll say, "I'm out of here. I got to get on the bus."
Yep, and he leaves, and that's it. But yeah, his response, in case people missed it, right? He talked after the Auburn Arkansas game where he looked at all of us in the media and said, "That's not my team." He said, "We're burning the film." He said, "I'm not even going to watch it.
Right.
Not even turning it on. I'm going to leave it here." He said, "Get in the shower, get on the bus, and let's go. This is not my team."
And I loved his comment. He said, "You know, we played some great teams. We were in every game." He said, "We were never in the Auburn game.
Yeah.
They stomped us."
Yep.
So we couldn't have beat them 50 times tonight.
And they responded very well last night with a 25-30 point drumming of South Carolina.
Yeah, comes here.
Well, yes, they come here Saturday. So, did you see his response there to that?
Yeah, when he told him Auburn had lost, he couldn't believe it.
He could, because he was continuing to praise Auburn coach last night after beating South Carolina, was continuing to praise Auburn, and then somebody said, "Well, they lost to Missouri tonight." What did he do, coach?
He just kind of got up and
left. He got up and left.
He couldn't believe
it. He could not believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shows what college basketball is right now, especially in the SEC.
For
Auburn loses to Missouri 84-74 last night in Como. We'll take our first break here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Come back and talk a little bit more about this game, plus what's going on around the SEC and what Auburn can do to turn it around. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. 334-321-1390. We're back after this here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hey, everybody, this is Jacob Goins from On the Line on ESPN 106.7. This week's Sports Lines are open all show long. 334-321-1390 on the Drive hotline, brought to you by Skybar. And we head there now as Terry is on hold. What's going on, Terry? Happy Thursday.
Hey there, Jacob. How you and Coach doing?
We are doing fantastic, man. What's on your mind?
Guys, I have never been much of a fan of the coaching waiting. I don't think it's ever worked. Now, I don't know if it has or not, but I don't think it's ever worked. And I'm not calling for Stephen Pearl's job, but I agree with Coach Dunn. I think he's got leadership problems, and I think that's part to do of the society we live in now with the portal and NIL and all that garbage.
Yeah, he admitted in some of those post-game comments about having leadership issues and saying he needs somebody to step up. Because, look, Coach, you compared it to parenting earlier. You can yell at your kids and get on them and yell at them and run them as much as you want, but until they accept it and they are basically coaching themselves internally, They're not gonna do it. They're not gonna get it. And that's what Auburn seems to be missing, clearly off the floor, on the floor in practice, traveling to games and things, and then in the game itself. I mean, Terry, we just haven't seen a whole lot of guys holding each other accountable and stepping up and going to get a bucket and coaching themselves on the floor. We just haven't seen a whole lot of that. And as a first-year head coach with all but one returning player from a year ago, that's a really tall ask, and I don't think we fully understood how difficult this job was going to be year one for Stephen Pearl here at Auburn.
Yeah, and look, his dad didn't do him no favors. He took a whole roster with him.
Yeah, you're right.
To be honest. I mean, let's be totally honest about that.
Yeah.
So, in no way, shape, or form am I calling for his job. Let that be clear. I'm just saying the proven needs to be made. And he's probably not going to do it with his current roster, quite honestly, because there's no leadership, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's a talented roster, no doubt about it. I mean, you can see and understand the talent on this team, but when you bring back one player from a year ago and your best player from a year ago, well, I guess one of your best player from a year ago, you're relying on him, Tahad Pettiford, and he has not delivered the way that you need him to.
And how much did he feed off of all those seniors last year, quite honestly?
Yeah, a lot, I think, is what we're learning right now, especially as a freshman coming off the bench last year. I think he fed a ton off of those older guys.
Right, exactly. that needs to be said, and it's a clear statement. Like I said, I'm not calling for Stephen Pearl's job, but the leadership on the team is not there, I don't think.
Yeah.
I really don't think it is. And I think Auburn is for a very, very long year.
Hmm. Yeah, if they keep playing the way they are right now, they'll miss the NCAA tournament, Terry.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open all show long here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. And, Coach, you can speak to that, right? And am I crazy for saying what I'm saying?
No, it's – you got to find that that bell cow, as we used to say.
Yeah.
Who's gonna follow? Who's gonna make other guys accountable when the coach is not around?
Mm-hmm.
You know the old saying: "What is character? Is what you do when
no one's
watching."
Yep.
So yeah, and golly, I've been lucky to be on some around some really good teams, championship teams, and I've been on the other end where we were terrible, had good players, just never could get the chemistry, never had the leadership. Tried everything in the world, you know, motivational speakers, giving points for, you know, fumble recoveries, which you do anyway, but just anything to motivate them. What makes it click? And then the 2004, I know it's 100 years ago, we had great leadership, no problems off the floor, off the field. We had nobody in trouble. A miracle. But we had fifth-year guys, too,
yeah,
that had been in the program. We didn't have to worry about this guy's worried about Jason Campbell's making $50,000 more than I am. We mm-hmm. didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
That we knew of. but seriously, it's just that fine line when it gels and when it doesn't. And, I hate to keep talking about Kentucky, but, I follow them quite a bit. Look at the money they're paying those guys this year, and they're not very good.
No, they're not.
Last year they had a bunch of knuckleheads that made it to the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, in a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows how important that is.
It's just they can't even – they just stand around. They don't move. They don't – they can't shoot.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's a lot of season left. Mm-hmm. As you know, we can't give up. Maybe last night, I don't know. Maybe he'll change the lineup a little bit. I don't know. But it's not like we're bad players.
No, that's the thing. Again, you look
at that's what's so frustrating as a coach.
No doubt.
That's why you don't sleep. That's why you turn gray-headed. You pull your hair out because what do I have to do? You can only yell so much. You can only motivate yourself so much. It's got to be from within, and it's still all about that thing in your chest, your heart. You got to have heart, and man, if we knew how to get that every time, we'd be billionaires, you and I.
For you, Coach, in your time and just speaking on coaching in general, again, in relation to this Auburn basketball team, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390 on the Drive hotline. What's more frustrating? Is it this situation where you've got the talent, but they're not connected and maybe not bought in? Or is it a team that maybe is a little bit more bought in, but you just know deep down you never admit it, but you don't have the talent?
Exactly.
Yeah. What's more frustrating?
Well, no doubt. It's when you have the talent and you know you have a chance to be a champion and you're not getting it done either yourself or the players. And, you know, injuries play in. You're going to have that. But – and you're going to have an off night. You know, mm-hmm. what do you play, 35 games now in college or more?
Yeah, pushing 40.
Yeah. You're going to have an off night, but it's just so frustrating when you know that you wax a good team. I mean, just beat the dog out of Arkansas, and then you have a, you know, like you don't care.
Yeah,
and
just a couple of days later.
I don't mean that, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, and basketball is so weird, too, because you're playing multiple times a week. Football is a completely different beast.
Let me tell you, when you get your butt beat in football, you got 6.5 days, and that's miserable.
Yeah.
And at least in baseball, basketball, tennis, hockey, you may play the next day.
Yeah, just flush it away and move on.
And get it out of your system. You know, the 24-hour rule. You know, celebrate it or cry in your soup or whatever. But, yeah, football, man, it just lingers. That'll beat you. The old saying, don't let this loss beat you twice.
Yeah.
And that's what he's got to take care of. And we are at home. So,
mm-hmm.
And then South Carolina's got to be feeling. You don't know what they're going to come in here. They may be – just spitting nails. So
yeah, you never know.
You never know. It's just a nervous-wracking business.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun, too.
That's right. That's, I mean, that's
for
sports,
us,
though.
Me sitting on the sideline. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why the coaching, and that's why they're making pretty darn good money right now. And
yeah.
So to Terry's point, before we get to the bottom of the hour break here on the drive, he said it. He's not calling for Stephen Pearl's job, and
no,
I don't think anybody is.
No.
But you do want to see something turn in the right direction. You don't want to see this continue to build.
Consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
Not up, down, up, down.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, Auburn falls to Missouri, 84-74 on the road last night in Como. We'll take a break. We'll come back and maybe some Coach Dunn stories compared to today's era of sports and what you went through during your time and how you've talked about it. Ain't no way you'd want to coach right now compared to what you went through in your time. I want to get into some of that, plus more news in terms of cheating in college basketball, transfer portal, and a whole lot more. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. 30 minutes into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. My days are running together, Coach.
I know, buddy.
Days running together, shows running together.
Yeah, you got a big game tomorrow night.
Yes, yeah, we were just talking about that. I'm Jacob Goins filling in for here on The Drive, and Coach Dunn with us as well. You're pulling every day, ain't you, Coach?
I've been here every day this week, and I've enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you guys. If I didn't have you guys here and Drew, I don't know what would happen. We'd probably be off the air. But because I can't operate any of that stuff I'm looking at.
Nah, we appreciate you being
here. But I appreciate you helping me out and staying another 2 hours. That's tough.
It's more of my responsibility than it is yours, Coach. You're here for a good time. I'm here to make sure we get through it all. But, yeah, we were talking Auburn High there for just a moment.
Yeah.
And, I call for Auburn High School for football, basketball, and baseball. And full-on basketball season right now.
Yep.
And
yep.
Area play underway. And Opelika comes over, makes a quick trip tomorrow night to Auburn High School Gymnasium. So you've seen that gym. It's big, and it's going to be packed tomorrow.
Yeah, there's nothing like an in-state rival, inner-city rival.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you're playing tiddlywinks. When you play your rival, it's always exciting, and everybody wants to win, and great followings on both schools, and good athletics on both schools. It's not like one's dominated the other in any sport.
Yeah, yeah, and I was talking with some of the Auburn High coaches after the win on Tuesday at Smith Station, where Auburn High got their first win in a long time at Smith Station. That place has been haunted for the boys, but they're back to 1-1 in area play. The varsity girls are 2-0 in area play, and was talking with some of the Auburn High basketball coaches just about the idea that this game starts to mean more now because Opelika, of course, up in 7A, and they said it really took a bump, if you will, with the movement of Opelika to 7A. And so, that'll be tomorrow night. It'll be on the air for Auburn High basketball versus Opelika. That's over on our sister station, 96.3 W Lee. That's 96.3 on your radio dial. Or if you have that Radio Alabama app, that's the best way you can listen to us. Girls at 5:30, boys at 7 for Auburn High School and Opelika on the hardwood. And baseball, softball season right around the corner, too. We'll have that on the air as well. So looking forward to that. But, Coach, wanted to reach into your past a little bit because you and I get to talk so much in passing out in the hall and going into the studio one in and one out. But and I know you guys have talked about this on the air a lot, but just your coaching resume, your coaching tree, and the difference. And remind me, the last year of your coaching career, what was the last year?
It would have been 2018 at Purdue. I was there with Jeff Brohm.
Yep.
And
great coach.
Oh, yeah, great coach. And of course, now he's at Louisville.
At his alma mater.
His hometown.
Yep.
The Brohm name in Louisville is, and I always joke, the sister, Jeff's sister, is the best athlete in the family. And she was volleyball and softball and still plays volleyball in the little leagues around the city.
Okay.
In the summer at the local taverns.
How about
they got
that?
Some pits out back and stuff. And she's
good.
But, that was my last college job. Then, kept a home here in Auburn the whole time when I went all over the country. But started out at – I went to East Tennessee State. I went to junior college, then I went to East Tennessee State. Finished there, went into high school coaching in in a little town, Jonesboro, Tennessee.
Okay.
Right outside of Johnson City. Then I went to Knoxville for 3 years. Then I went back to Lees McRae Junior College. Mm-hmm. Lived in the dorm.
Oh, wow.
Made $25 a week. Room and board, though.
Hey, had that included.
And what was crazy, I was married. My wife sacrificed, like she's always done, she made more money than I did all the way up until I went to Ole Miss.
How about that?
And took care of us, and she did all the moving, raised our son, did everything. And anyway, I lived in the dorm there. She commuted. She stayed in Knoxville. She was a dental hygienist, had a great job, had to keep the insurance, all the money, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then one day, Johnny Majors, believe it or not, came to our little school up there to speak at an assembly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Presbyterian college, so we had every week we had what we called a convocation where we had a guest speaker. And so the guy picked him up at the little airport. He flew in on a private plane. It's only an hour and a half, but he flew in on a private plane. So
must be nice.
Yeah, driving back, the guy said, "You know, we got a guy here who lives in, his family's in Knoxville, and he's wanting to get into, you know, back closer to home and in the big time college coaching." Well, he said, "Well, have him give this guy a call." So I'm thinking, "Yeah, right."
Yeah.
So I call a guy up. Long story short, I go over there on an Easter Sunday, Friday, Good Friday. They were practicing, but they were off for the weekend. They won't even let me in the place. I tell them, I got an interview with Johnny Majors. The guy said, "Yeah, right."
Hmm.
So I'm standing outside the gate.
Wow.
They in practice. I follow him in. I get in. I talk to Coach Majors. He's in the shower. They said, "Go on in there and talk to him." I'm standing there in the only suit I have.
Oh, no.
The old seersucker looked like it's about $20. Steam hit me in the face. He said, "So you want to be a volunteer?"
Yep.
I said, "Yes, sir." He said, go see so-and-so." That was on a Friday. I started there on Monday.
Wow.
And my wife was circling because we couldn't find a parking lot in our old Nova. We're driving around an old Nova.
You were in there forever.
Yeah. So I come back out. I got all these books. They give me all these playbooks.
Wow.
Big orange playbooks. And they said, she said, How'd it go? I said, "I'm a volunteer."
Yeah.
She goes, "That's awesome. Oh, I got to call my daddy, who's a big Tennessee fan." I said, "I'm a volunteer." She goes, "I know it. I'm so proud of you." I said, "No, I'm not making any money. I'm a volunteer and a Tennessee volunteer." So that's a true story. And we've got 1,000. So then I went there, and from there I went to Montana State, and then University of Pacific with Walt Harris, who was at Tennessee. It's all about connections. Then I went to Reno, Nevada, good program, Chris Ault, Hall of Famer. Then I went to, that's when I got with Tommy Tuberville at Ole Miss, and then Auburn, and then Texas Tech, Auburn High in between when we got fired here in 08. Countries for a little while, Auburn High, then back to Texas Tech with Coach Tuberville, then to Western Kentucky with Bobby Petrino, stayed on with Jeff Brohm.
Yep.
Went to Purdue with him, and then my wife said, "Okay, you're getting old. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah,
I loved it. Great players. A lot of stories. My wife can tell you a million of them.
And your wife is fan. I hope she's listening right now. Well, your wife is incredible.
I hope so too, because I hope she has something to eat when I get home. But she sacrificed a lot, and if it wasn't for her, I would have never made it. And she raised her son, drove him to wrestling practice all over the country.
She's
and,
the best. She really is. She's such a good woman. Sweet lady. Yeah,
we
love seeing
though,
her.
Man. Don't,
oh, yeah. I wouldn't mess with her.
I'm not either.
No. Well, the reason I ask all of that, and the phone lines are open today if you want to be a part of the show here on The Drive, 334-321-1390 on The Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar. We'll get into some more of the transfer portal news. Auburn picks up an offensive lineman today. We have David Pascal joining us at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
We'll talk some of the cheating scandals in college basketball. Woo. Tons to get to there, but I ask you that because 2018, you said, was your final year of coaching in college. That was right before this new era started with the portal and NIL.
Well, you had the pandemic that hit in 20, which set everything off, with extra time, extra years, extra eligibility. But the portal was just there was some talk about paying players, but it was more, you know, name, image, and likeness. I think that's what it was. Which I never really understood, but. Yeah, it was just starting.
Okay, well, that was what I was going to ask. Were you guys starting to hear the rumblings of all of this stuff coming up?
I did not. I'm sure the ADs and the compliance people and all that might have. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but no, I never heard anything about that.
Okay,
we always heard you should have played them. Now, when I first started coaching, you got a $20 laundry allowance. They called it. Everybody got
the players did.
Yeah.
$20. Yeah.
Now, I don't know when they got it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was weekly or monthly. Surely it was weekly, because $20 a month, even back then, wouldn't buy much. But didn't know much about that.
I just didn't know how much you guys had had heard about it, or if it was starting to sneak its way in. So you were pretty much out before came in. And so, I know you've talked about it and bring it up and stuff, but – I couldn't imagine, I don't know, I guess I couldn't imagine a coach who was in it like yourself before has had to go through it all. Think about a young coach, even if you were 10 years in,
right,
up to when all of this got implemented.
Yeah, it's a complete 360.
Yeah, and you've gone through this 5, 6, 7 years of a transition, and now it's just off the deep end.
Right. Now, like you mentioned, the coaches are compensated. They're getting paid.
Oh, no doubt.
That's one joke. I got out too early for that. I didn't make the money that they make, or even close. I didn't have a 3-year contract. Never had a contract over 6 months.
Wow.
So when we got let go, it was over, basically.
That's stressful.
Yeah, very stressful. And thank gosh for Tim Carter and Auburn High that they gave me a job when I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Wilson at Country's let me work there.
Yeah.
Just enough to buy gas, basically. But anyway, yeah. You know, never made that type of money. Made good money. I never worried about that much. I never made more money than my wife till we went to Ole Miss. But it's so hard. I don't know how they do it. And our calendar was nothing like this.
Yeah.
Right now we'd be high school recruiting, junior college recruiting for the signing date in February. You didn't have to recruit your own players and keep them. I don't know how they do it. Now, they do have a huge staff now.
That's a good point.
And we didn't have that. We had maybe one GA on both sides of the ball.
Wow.
And some student helpers.
Wow.
But anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. And again, I wanted to tap into that a little bit. And it's an ever-changing thing, right? Something new every day.
Completely different after you know, I guess they had the national convention. That's something different. We all went to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how they go with the portal going on. Even though it was a dead period, there's still stuff going on.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Agents and calls.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Phone lines are open today. We've said that. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to do that now on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar, 334-321-1390. K-Bag, what's going on, my man? It's good to hear from you on this Thursday afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Jake. Good afternoon, Coach. Appreciate y'all. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Doing great, buddy.
Hey, Coach, I got a question for you. Let's think about, from your time when you got to Auburn with Coach Tuberville and then on throughout when you retired there. Who had the worst visitor road set up, and who had some of the better road visitor setups in the conference? I appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, K-Bag. Good to hear from you, my friend. Did you get that question? Road, like locker room and setup stuff. Best and worst.
Goodness.
Don't want you to trash too much on air, but some of those road trips you remember good and bad for the spectacles you got to see.
Oh, man. I tell you who had the worst visitors locker room was at Purdue.
Really?
Yes.
Is that from what you saw from coaching at Purdue or when you went to Purdue?
No, when I was there coaching, I don't know how they let those guys dress over there. And Harbaugh at Michigan threw a fit.
I bet he did.
And it was, and they changed all that. But let's see. Mississippi State has an unusual, or used to have a weird setup, like divided walls where you couldn't get all the team together at once. You had people in cubby holes and things like that. The best was Jerry World. Just immaculate.
I can't
press
even
box.
Imagine.
The locker room was huge when we played Baylor there when I was at Texas Tech. Man, that is a great question. Of course, in the junior college league, we a lot of times had to dress on the bus.
Yeah.
And there'd be one toilet right in the middle of the little locker room.
I've seen some high school venues like that.
Just
one
commode right there in the middle of everything. But that's a great question. Let's see. They always, back in the old days, try to make it miserable on the road.
Sure.
Some people would paint their locker rooms pink. And just crazy
stuff. Just to play with your mind.
Yeah, and then like at Wyoming, they'd have like Welcome to Wyoming elevation, you know, making you think you can't breathe.
Yeah,
and they put the elevation like 6,000, stuff like that.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, great question, K-Mag.
Yeah, great question.
Good to hear from you, my friend. That's a loyal listener and caller here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
What's up, Auburn fans? This is Jack Cutton.
Hey. With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. We got Coach Don Dunn in the studio with us as well. Drew over there making sure we stay on the air, which is much appreciated. And coming up in hour number two, we're going to have David Pascoe join us on the phone lines, talk to him about the latest updates around Auburn football, the transfer portal, the national championship game coming up on Monday.
Yeah,
coming up. And, hey, we're going to have that broadcasted here for you on ESPN 106.7, so that's really cool.
Great. NFL playoffs we haven't talked about.
Yeah, we're going to have all those here on ESPN too, Coach. Yeah, both games awesome. Saturday, both games Sunday. So we have a lot to get to with David Pascoe coming up at 5 o'clock. And then we'll talk more transfer portal stuff, cheating scandal in college basketball, and a whole lot more. But I do want to get to the transfer portal here quickly for Auburn, since we'll be talking with David about it coming up in just a few minutes, where Alex Golish and the Tigers add another offensive lineman in the transfer portal, their fifth addition on the O-line. Jacob Strand, he is 6'5", over 300 pounds from Oregon State, has 1 year of eligibility, and he comes in with several starts at the left tackle position, which you know how important the tackle spot is,
yes,
Coach.
Yes.
And so he comes in. Again, several years of experience. He has not started a season beginning to end, but has started several games in several seasons. Redshirted in 2022, played a few games in 23 and 24, started six games in 2025. Again, all of those being at the left tackle position. But what most people are highlighting here, and you'll appreciate this, Coach Dunn, he was 6'5", 240 when he got to college. He's now over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is not him, and I said this on my show earlier, this isn't him just putting on, you know, fatty weight, sitting around playing video games and eating bad food. This is putting on beef and muscle on the offensive line. As a D-line coach, what do you coach your guys and tell them when you see a guy like Jacob Strand, who's 6'5", 300 pounds in the SEC?
You better get off on a snap. You better get around him. Don't let him grab you with those big old paws. But that's an important position, like you said. Tackles in the pros and in college and high school.
Yeah.
You got to protect that quarterback, especially the backside guy. And, you know, a good friend of mine just got that head job at Oregon State, so I'm sure they tried to keep him, but that is a great pickup for us. That's a huge man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it the right way. You know, he's been there probably 4 years if he has one more year.
Yep.
So he didn't just, like you said, just put on a lot of weight. It's been the right way, and anxious to see him in person play.
It's, as I mentioned, now the fifth portal commit on the offensive line for Auburn in this cycle. Cole Skinner from South Florida. Yeah. Also Cole Best, the starting center from South Florida.
That's important.
Who I expect to be the starting center for Auburn in 2026. Also Joe Simmons from James Madison, who his numbers jump off the page. And then Stanton Rommel from Michigan State. So you've brought in five guys on the offensive line through the transfer portal on top of four of your high school commits and signees from this last class. So you've got nine guys. Newcomers coming in, plus whatever you're able to keep, at least one that we know of. So offensive line, while we don't know what it will look like and we don't know what the production will be, Coach, you at least have bodies in there right now.
I think at least 15 at, you know, three rotations or three depth, or however you want to say it. Yeah, very impressed with the center from what I've read about. I think that's so important. You got your quarterback, you got your center, you got a running back from the same program, same terminology. Know the coaching, know what they expect. The center now is the quarterback of the offensive line. He calls out the protections. He sets the protections. He points out possible blitzers. He helps the running back, you know, which way am I going to, you know, chip, whatever. So him coming, I've heard nothing but good things about that young man. So I'm excited to see him, too. Getting all that stuff together, putting the puzzle together, as they say.
That's a great way to put it, because it is a puzzle.
And now it is.
Yeah, and with all these new players.
Not only at Auburn, every college everywhere in America. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I said earlier, I am totally cool if basically every player on this team, whether it's a high school guy, transfer portal guy, or even a returnee from last year's team, which they've done a great job, Coach, of bringing back a lot of the defensive guys from last year.
Right.
They can all wear the same colored helmet, same color jersey, same color pants. Let's have competition. Let's have no names, no numbers, and let the best man win.
That's right. And let's run the ball. Run the ball.
You heard that, didn't you? Run the ball, says Coach Dunn. And so I think Auburn will. Again, they bring in Jacob Strand from Oregon State, 6'5", 300 pounds. He will be a key addition to the Auburn offensive line. The fifth portal commit, and he signed as well. That's a big part, too. Not only did he commit, he signed with Auburn today. We'll talk more about that coming up in hour number two, plus other big news around the transfer portal in the SEC, where quarterbacks continue to dominate the headlines in Auburn basketball, cheating scandals in the hardwood as well. All that coming up in the second hour. David Paschal will be joining us at the 5 o'clock hour. So stick around after him. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. No Bill Cameron, no Dan Peck, so they called in, I guess, the best they could find, as they've got a couple of reserves in here today and all week long on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Appreciate you being with us. I host On the Line, the show that comes on before this from 2 to 4. Also, the voice of the Auburn High Tigers filling in on this Thursday afternoon. Hour number one of The Drive is in the books, and we appreciate you being with us on this 5 o'clock hour. Hopefully most of you getting off work, heading home, and trying to stay warm out there as well. And a chilly Auburn day here on the Plains. Coach Don Dunn with us in the studio as well. Drew over running things, making sure we stay on the air. He is getting a guest on the phone. We'll tell you about that in just a minute. But we appreciate you being with us. Again, hour number one is in the books. Got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. And if you missed any of the first hour of today's show here on The Drive or any other of the previous shows of The Drive, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version. A couple of ways you can do that by visiting our station website at espnau.com and going to the podcast center. You can also download the Radio Alabama app, and you can click on the podcast tab down there as well when you're listening to ESPN 106.7. And so in hour number one, we talked about some of the transfer portal updates, also talked about Auburn basketball as they fall on the road to Missouri last night, and had a couple of phone calls and some concerns for Auburn basketball moving forward as they lose to Missouri last night and prepare for South Carolina this Saturday. So all of that was in hour number one here on The Drive. If you missed it, check it out again on the Radio Alabama app or at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two on The Drive, we're going to talk some of the basketball cheating scandal stuff, with several players and teams being involved in a gambling ring, being involved in point shaving and fixing games, Coach. It's wild to see where we are in today's sports world, so we'll get to that, plus more portal updates and a little bit more as well. But we start hour number two in the 5 o'clock hour with a Drive this day and time each and every week. It's David Paschal with us on the phone lines now on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar. He's with the Chattanooga Times Free Press, also with Talk Radio 102.3. David, we appreciate appreciate you joining us here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. You got Jacob Goins and Coach Don Dunn with you on this Thursday, and we appreciate you being with us.
I love it. Jacob and Don taking things over. Hope y'all are doing well.
Yes, yeah, we are.
We're trying to hold it down, David.
I know you can. You got brand new guitars, so I'm not worried about you at all, dog.
That's right, buddy. Wife's from East Ridge.
Absolutely.
Well, David, there is so much going on in the sports world. Of course, the transfer portal has just a couple of days remaining for players to enter their names in there. Then Friday is the deadline for that. Of course, players that are already in there or enter by that date can then commit to any school at any time. And in terms of the SEC, are there names that are surprising to you that they left their current school or maybe returned to their current school? Just some of those storylines and names out there across the conference that have caught your eye.
You know, we live in such a weird world, especially as someone who's, because I've written about SEC football for 36 seasons now, and you just, there's always something that you never thought you'd be doing, and you think about, you know, you think about, you're writing about players who announced they're returning. I mean, when did we ever write and, you know, do stories on someone saying they're coming back? But, you know, I think, you know, because you've got a lot of schools like Texas is obviously with what they've done around Arch Manning with the Relique Brown and the Hollywood Smothers, the running backs, and getting Cam Coleman from Auburn. I mean, the pieces that they're putting around Arch Manning are insane. You know, LSU is obviously doing some work under Kiffin. But you also have to kind of and you know, and then you have stories where a school like Auburn is taking, they're basically going to be South, you know, to some degree, South Florida from a year ago. But, you know, I think you also have to recognize a school like Florida that underwent a coaching change, and they're quietly, you know, by getting Jaden Ball to stick around, a 1,000-yard rusher, by getting Jaden Woods, who was a all-SEC freshman defensive end, you can kind of score some points by just getting players to return to your program. So they're all kind of different ways of kind of succeeding in this day and age. It's crazy.
Well, there's so much movement right now with a lot of big names, and so many of them, David, that surprises me, not just players leaving, but players staying within the Southeastern Conference. You mentioned Cam Coleman going to Texas. We saw DJ Lagway, who went not in conference, but left Florida to go to Baylor, which now Auburn has to see in the season opener. But players that are sticking, at least maybe in the area right now, going from one school to the other.
And you know what else you're starting to see now is you're starting to see more players that left the school, went somewhere else, and came back to the school. You know, yeah. Auburn had that tight end that came from Maryland that's now gone back to Maryland. You think about Walker Howard, who was a top 50 national guy, quarterback who originally signed with LSU, spent two seasons at Ole Miss. He went to Louisiana Lafayette. He's back at Ole Miss. So, you know, the portal is, you know, some of these schools are welcoming back people for a second time. So yeah, it is crazy.
We got David Paschal on the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of The Drive with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And for a place like Auburn, you mentioned Florida as well, places that went through a coaching change going into year one of a new era, do you have an opinion, David, on what the balance should be of transfer portal players versus high school recruits, plus trying to retain a roster, which Auburn has done a pretty good job, I think, especially defensively? I mean, I don't think there's one formula or a cookie-cutter formula for it, but do you have an opinion one way or the other on how a new team with a new coach should be built nowadays?
In some degrees, it's beggars can't be choosers. I mean, you've got to be as good as you can, as quickly as you can.
Sure.
And you mentioned the two teams that I always point to, teams that have a lot of tradition in Auburn and Florida. And really, since COVID, you're talking about two programs that just, you know, if you're a fan of it, you need to memorize half your roster every single year at a minimum. I mean, there's just so much turnover. And you're always going to expect turnover with a coaching change anyway. But yeah, it's the immediacy of it. I mean, we're talking about basically another NFL when you're talking about the SEC. It's only going to get worse with 9 league games, because if somebody's 6-3 in the league, that means somebody else has to be 3-6. And so, I mean, the demands are just going to get that much more. you know, in a perfect world, you would love to do the whole high school, you know, get them from day one and raise them. But even programs like Georgia and Alabama that historically recruit better than everybody else, you've seen a lot of players this week from Georgia, you know, younger guys that Georgia would love to develop just to, you know, go elsewhere if they're getting a little bit more money and a little more playing time opportunity.
And Coach Dunn, you can help speak to this a little bit. You see the SEC kind of scrambling a little bit right now because of the national championship game coming up on Monday, and now the third straight year that the conference will not be a part of that, and the Big Ten's letting them hear about it, huh, Coach?
Oh, yeah. They got bragging rights, as they say, right now. But I'd still, believe in the SEC. It's just been a couple of matchups that, you know, knocked us out of a chance to play. And I think a lot of times, and David might agree or not, that we beat each other up, you know, during the season. And, you know, you got to be ready to play every weekend in the SEC, and it's so physical and the speed and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because that does seem to be a narrative as we get closer to Indiana-Miami, that you talk about, you know, the SEC three straight years, but I think both things can be true. I mean, I think all five teams that made the playoff from the SEC were deserving of it. I mean, I think you can have the best league or have the most teams and just not be elite at the very tip top. I mean, it reminds me of my years at Auburn because I was there for the Pat Dye three straight SEC titles in 87, 88, and 89. I mean, Auburn was an unbelievable team. But on the national scale, Florida State was a little bit better.
Yep.
Notre Dame was a little bit better. You know, sometimes being in the best team in the SEC back in that era meant you were like fifth overall. It's just, you know, it's nothing against. I mean, Auburn's defense back then with the Rocker brothers and Ron Stallworth and Benji Roll. I mean, it was just unreal. Auburn just did not have the offenses that FSU and Miami. Those were just a little bit more complete teams. It's kind of like, you know, weighing the best Auburn teams of all time. Yeah, the 2010 team won the national championship, but the 2004 team that didn't get to play for the national championship, to me, was the most complete Auburn team because that team was nasty on offense and defense.
Yeah, that makes me smile.
Yeah, Coach Dunn, and I had a chance to speak with Tommy Tuberville a couple of months ago, and yeah, he talks about just how dominant that 04 team was and how he feels like they could have beat anybody that went up against them at any given time. And so we're talking again with David Paschal from the Chattanooga Times Free Press here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. And do you have something, Coach?
Yeah, hey, David, off the subject, have you got any snow? It's supposed to be cold tonight, and I heard my sister-in-law lives in Ringo, and she was worried about getting groceries and stuff. I just wonder if you had any snow up there.
Yeah, the timing of it didn't time out.
It rained yesterday.
It rained yesterday up until about 9 o'clock last night. And then when we woke up this morning up on Lookout Mountain, it was like 24.
Woo.
So it was off by about 12 to 15 hours.
Okay.
Had it stayed raining longer, we'd be in a mess. But I've got our older two are at Tennessee right now, and my daughter, you know, just going from Knoxville, you scoot over to Beach and Sugar Mountain in North Carolina.
So
she went snowboarding today, and she texted me a picture, and I was like, on the way over, and I was like, my goodness, that's a decent amount of snow.
Yeah, you know, I went to Lees McRae and played there before I went to East Tennessee State, and then that was my first, quote, college job. I lived in the dorms and coached at Lees McRae. So I'm familiar with Banner Elk.
And,
oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I wish I knew now, or no, let me put it this way. I wish I had money to have bought a place up there. Back in the early 70s, there was nothing there. We had nothing.
Uh-huh.
We had a little flashing red light and a post office.
Yeah, those are some cherished memories because me and my two brothers and our parents, our families would all gather at Linville at the foot of Grandfather Mountain.
I know.
And
know
just
it
the,
well.
The Linville Boone Blowing Rock.
I mean,
every Memorial Day weekend when we all had all the kids would go to Tweetsie Railroad.
Yes.
And that was like the highlight.
And the Land of Oz and all that. Yeah.
Good times. That's beautiful. Yeah, Emily texted me a picture from Banner Elk today. I mean,
wow.
Just snow everywhere.
Wow.
I feel left out of this. I mean, I grew up in Ohio, David, and we got plenty of snow and cold and stuff up there, and it was snowing and cold when I was up there over the holidays. But a place that it will not be cold is Miami, coming up on Monday for the national championship game. I want to get your quick thoughts on this between Indiana and Miami. Of course, it's not the SEC. It's not Auburn. It's not anybody really close to here. But the Canes playing a home game against the Hoosiers, who seem to be unstoppable. Your thoughts on what Indiana and Miami will put on the field on Monday night?
Yeah, it's funny. The Canes are playing a home game and will probably have 35% of the fans.
Exactly.
I mean, Indiana is gobbling up tickets left and right. And this is just such a – Indiana really is just truly such a fascinating story because, I mean, when I don't have a dog in the hunt, I just root for good games. And how blessed were we to get the NFL weekend of games that we got last weekend?
Absolutely.
With all the fourth quarter changes in the Rams and Panthers and then the Bills and Jaguars. But, you know, outside of – you had the two games with Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss and Georgia was phenomenal. Ole Miss and Miami was phenomenal. But, I mean, it is amazing that Indiana has gone from so bad to being so good because, I mean, I go into this game pulling for Miami because I feel like Indiana is such an overwhelming favorite because of how dominant. I mean, they are just – and I know Miami beat Ohio State worse than Indiana did in the Big Ten Championship, but, I mean, Indiana is just piecing everything together. I mean, this is just a team that makes zero mistakes. And, of course, you look at Mendoza's line against Oregon. I mean, he was 17 of 20, but he didn't have a ton of yards because they were always starting possessions deep in Oregon territory. So, no, it is just amazing what a well-oiled machine Indiana is right now. I mean, they're, you know, I've seen them anywhere from 8.5 to a little bit less than that. But I kind of go into this pulling for Miami just because I want them to keep it close, even though they're in their home stadium.
Yeah, the crazy stat for me is that Fernando Mendoza has more touchdown passes than incompletions right now in the college football playoffs. I mean, that's a stat line that has never been done before, I don't think. And for a Heisman Trophy winner that had some drama, had some controversy around it, not because of him in particular, but the stats that he had compared to past winners, David, I don't think anybody's questioning Fernando Mendoza as the Heisman Trophy winner right now.
It's really funny you bring that up because our show had its share of people going, Pavia should have won, Pavia should have won. You're not hearing anybody say that anymore.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, national championship game on Monday night, Indiana and Miami. Again, we'll have that radio broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7. And, David, we'll leave you with this. I know you cover the SEC on a daily basis, and basketball is in full swing. And if you had to pick a team right now to take to the end of the SEC and win this thing, who would you take? Why? Because it's wide open four games in.
You know, and it is. It's funny because the team I would probably pick is the team that Auburn mutilated on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think Arkansas has a whole lot of upside. I just really like them. You know, Bama's kind of trying to get their act together. Vanderbilt took it on the chin for the first time. The other team that I would say, and this is just kind of a recency comment, but boy, does Florida look like they're getting their act together.
Yes, they
so,
do.
I mean, I would say Arkansas and Florida. Florida, you know their front line's going to come to play every single night. But Boogie Flan looked incredible against Tennessee this past Saturday. Xavier Lee starting to pick it up as well. You know, if they get even just good guard play, they don't have to get great. I mean, last year they always got great guard play with Clayton and Richard and Elijah Martin. But, I mean, if they get just good guard play, Florida is also a team that you've really got to watch. But I really love Acuff and what Arkansas's got going on with those freshmen because they just keep getting better and better.
David Pascal helping us kick off hour number two here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. We really appreciate you taking the time again, talking with Jacob Goins and Coach Don Dunn here, filling in for Bill and for Dan. Tell the people what you have going on and how they can keep up with everything you're working on.
Yeah, timesfreepress.com for the articles and WGOW.com for Sport Talk, which is 2 to 5 each day Central Time.
We appreciate it again. The guys will be back next week when you join them on Thursday, okay?
That sounds great. Enjoy talking to y'all. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. David Pascal joining us here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Appreciate him for taking the time again and having a conversation with us. So phone lines are open the rest of the show if you'd like to get in and be a part of it as you're driving home. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Jacob Goins, Coach Don Dunn in the studio here on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling Systems and Plumbing, we believe our work is more than just AC and plumbing repairs.
It's back on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Jacob Goins, Coach Don Dunn with you in the studio. Just got off the phone with David Pascal. Great guy, man. Great conversations with him. Yeah. And we hit a lot of topics with him, huh? Talked all things basketball, football, transfer portal, national championship. Got in there and talked a little bit about that. And, Coach, I know you wanted to bring up a little bit about the national championship. We'll probably talk more tomorrow about it on our shows. And also on Monday, again, we're going to have the national ESPN radio broadcast for you of the national championship game here on ESPN 106.7. And do want to let people know as well from a programming note that our shows will be on the air Monday. Monday's MLK Day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I totally forgot. I've been in such a grind mode coming back from the holidays and everything. Totally forgot that Monday is MLK Day.
It's a holiday, a no mail service, that kind of stuff.
But all of our shows will be on the Max Roundtable. Yeah. Max Roundtable on the line of the drive. We'll all be on Monday to recap a busy weekend of college basketball, the transfer portal, and then preview the national championship.
And NFL playoffs.
Yeah. Excited about that. Yeah. Very excited.
Yeah. Monday night's game. All for 2 years, I've been doubting Indiana. I keep saying, nah, they might be for real.
I think so.
Now, I cannot believe that Miami's playing at home.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I think Indiana will out size them.
If they travel like they did to Atlanta, it won't even be close.
Right. And, Miami traditionally is not, had a lot of sellouts.
Yeah.
They have a following, but Miami's a small school,
mm-hmm.
and they don't play on campus.
They play pretty good ways away from campus.
Yes, and, the weather's going to be 65, which is – those guys in Indiana will be wearing, shorts.
Yeah, they'll be ready.
But I think Indiana's quarterback will be the difference.
Yeah.
And I like their coach. He's a different cat now.
Did you ever cross paths with him?
Yes. He was on Saban's first staff.
Yeah, he was a recruiting coordinator for Nick
and
Saban.
And he was on Johnny Major's staff at Pitt, and I kind of knew that staff.
Okay.
And when Johnny went back to Pitt
from Tennessee.
But I think he's done a great job, and talk about doing it right in the portal with not great, well-known players from James Madison. So I think Indiana I guess I'll go with Indiana, but I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that Miami has more talent in terms of rankings and stars and things. Yeah. You know how many 5-stars Indiana has on that roster, Coach?
1-0.
Really? Not a single one. Isn't that crazy?
That just goes to show you.
Yeah.
With like you were talking earlier about basketball, chemistry, buying in, fifth-year players, playing together, and you got to have a quarterback.
Got to have a quarterback.
I don't care if you're coaching junior high. You got to have a quarterback.
Isn't it wild that Auburn fans got to see that quarterback come to Jordan-Hare when he was at California and just tear us up?
Who would have thought it?
I wouldn't. Now, and what's crazy is in that game, and we got a couple of phone calls we're going to get to here over the next several minutes, but when Fernando Mendoza was at California and they made the trip here to Auburn, he didn't do anything crazy. If you remember, it was a lot of roll out, dink and dunk, get 4, 5, 6 yards, move the chains, and just dominate time of possession.
That's the key. Keep the ball.
Auburn had no clue what to do when Fernando Mendoza was here, but he was nowhere near this level at California. No. Indiana has made him better, there's no doubt. So we got a couple of phone calls. Let's get to those now. Again, on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar, 334-321-1390. We begin with Slack. You're on the Thursday edition of the Drive.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Well, my phone's back up. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
How about that?
What a crazy situation that was.
That just goes to show you, Slack, we can't survive without a phone, can we?
We can't survive without it. I'm thinking about putting mine back on the wall, Coach, putting the thing on it.
Talk all the way down the hall and lay down in the hall and talk all night.
There you go. Take it all the way upstairs. Everybody.
That's right.
Hey, talk about a guy that you were fortunate enough to coach when he was at Auburn, Ben Grubbs.
Oh, yes, sir.
You don't see that nowadays where kids, instead of saying, okay, can I switch positions to get mm-hmm. on the field?
Right.
Nobody wants to do that anymore.
No, sir. What a great kid, great family, local kid right down the road. Just yep. got better, kept his mouth shut, worked every day, tough, physical, never one ounce of problems off the field. Just a great young man. But you're right. He found his niche, and he stuck with it.
And turned into an All-American his senior year at Auburn.
Yeah, and played in the pros.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would like to see more guys do that.
I agree with you.
At Auburn.
I agree.
If I'm not getting in the spots at wide receiver, can I move to tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting in the spots on the offense, can I move to the defense side of the ball? And a lot of these kids played both ways in high school.
Yeah, well, you as a coach, I wanted the guys to play both ways, and I wanted them to play other sports. I wanted them to play basketball, baseball, and track was a plus. But the best kids I recruited – Deuce McAllister at Ole Miss was a great yeah. basketball player, and Jason Campbell from Taylorsville, Mississippi was a great basketball player. But you're right, Slack. Yeah. These kids just—it's I don't know if it's social media. Everybody gets a trophy. What have you done for me lately?
People in their corner doesn't help either.
Exactly, and agents and all this crap.
Yeah.
They need. Nobody's patient anymore, Slack. They don't want to pay their dues and wait. But Ben, he did it.
Hey, since you mentioned that about people in their corner, I got an idea.
Okay.
I'm just throwing something at y'all guys.
Sure.
What if all the colleges had just own staff agents, and that's the only people that these kids can deal with? Do you think that would help, son?
I don't know. That's a tough question to ask. You're saying so if a team, take Auburn football for example, had two or three agents on staff that represented all the players that came through here?
Right.
It could. It absolutely could.
It didn't have to deal with the uncle, the nephew, the cousin, and all these other guys.
The barber, the minister.
Right.
Unfortunately, right. Slack, right. I don't think the players would ever agree to it because they hire an agent who can get them the most money no matter where the school is.
Exactly.
Because nowadays, Coach, you can speak to this as
yep,
well.
You're
players
right.
commit to a coach sometimes, a school rarely, and the money more than ever. That's the issue right now.
Exactly. It's changed much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
It, Slack. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline brought to you by Skybar. And we get back to it right now. Spectre, what's going on? It's good to hear from you. Did you see what happened in the portal today?
I did. I love it.
I figured you would.
I think I told Coach yesterday, I think Auburn's the sun's finally coming up.
Yes, sir.
Auburn.
I can see it over the hill right out the window.
Yes. I just hope these guys produce. I didn't want none of those guys coming in there with bad ears or anything like that.
Yeah, tell me about it. I haven't heard of any hearing problems with these guys coming in through the portal yet.
Well, that's good. I'm anxious to see what happens on the field. I'm on my way home, but listen, I want to ask a question of you guys.
Sure.
You know, I keep hearing about how Indiana fan base is going to out fan base Miami in their own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Just take for a minute. Let's say if Alabama had the fortunes to have a bowl like a Cotton Bowl or an Orange Bowl or something like that, we'd call it the Iron Bowl, right? But could you imagine though if Alabama was playing Indiana in the Iron Bowl, would Indiana outfan Alabama?
Probably not, but I do think that there is something to be said with Indiana right now, with it being the first national championship game they've ever played in. They did compete in a game for a championship, believe it was the Rose Bowl back in the 60s, but this is their first true national championship game for a program, Spectre. You know this. They had more losses in FBS football than any team in the country when Kurt Cignetti showed up. So I do think the newness and the shininess and the history here is helping Indiana get down there, but to answer your question, probably not if it was against an Alabama team in Birmingham or something like that.
Yeah, I just can't get over it. I mean, there's a lot of money in Miami.
Yeah.
And if it's ticket prices, ain't going to be a thing with them down there, so I can't understand why Miami fan base ain't going to show up.
Have you seen the ticket prices, Spector? $3,000-$5,000 to get into this thing.
Well, have you seen the cost of living in Miami?
You're also spot on with that, friend.
Yeah, but anyway, Oregon and Indiana went to Atlanta, right?
Yes.
And I understand why Oregon didn't have a big fan base because they're going across country. But Indiana's further away than Miami is, so I just don't understand that part.
But no, anyway, I get it.
We'll see, though.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm excited about this offensive line coming in. I mean, I know that there's at least two left tackles. Is anything else going on?
As of today, no, that's the big one. The guy from Oregon State, we're going to talk some more about him coming up after the break. But yes, the left tackle from Oregon State, 6'5", 300 pounds, my man.
Well, I'll be listening on my way home then.
We appreciate it, Spectre. Good to hear from you, sir. 334-321-1390. Spectre and Slack both getting in on the Drive Hotline brought to you by Skybar. We talk more about the offensive lineman transfer portal commit. Plus, we have a cheating scandal going on in college basketball. Crazy times we're living in, man. We talk about both of those things when we come back here. 30 more minutes on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Stick around.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. No Bill, no Dan, out for the week. So a group effort to keep the show on the air, and we appreciate everybody being with us. I'm Jacob Goins filling in on this Thursday afternoon, going on hour number 4 of radio this afternoon. I host On the Line from 2 to 4, the show before this, Christian Griffin and myself, each and every weekday, part of 7 straight hours of local sports talk radio here on ESPN 106.7. So we appreciate you spending your Thursday evening with us. Those of you driving home, maybe you're already home, or maybe you're still at the office. Whatever the case may be, we appreciate you being with us. Got Coach Don Dunn in here, Drew Over running everything for us on today's show. And we talked more about the transfer portal, and that's what Spectre was talking about right before we left. And the big news for Auburn football today is getting another offensive line come in. In case you missed this, Jacob Strand, the Oregon State transfer, who has 1 year of eligibility remaining, he has committed and has signed with the Auburn Tigers, which there is a difference in those two things nowadays. Can't just bank on a commitment. Now you got to make sure you get pen to paper. And even when you do get pen to paper, it's not even a guarantee. But I feel good about this one. Don't think there will be too much drama with Jacob Strand. Again, the Oregon State offensive line transfer, 6'5", 300 pounds. He has played for several years. He redshirted in 2022, played a couple of games in 23, a couple of games in 24, started 6 games last year in 2025 out there in Corvallis, but now Jacob Strand has joined the Auburn Tigers, the 5th offensive lineman to join through the transfer portal. Coach Dunn, want to get your thoughts from the defensive perspective. Asked you earlier about a guy that's that size just basically getting in the way to make an impact, but a guy who's got experience, I've seen moves his feet well, has good hands as well, and some of the film I've been able to watch. Jacob Strand commits to the Auburn Tigers, Coach.
Yeah, I think it's a great pickup. You can't have enough offensive or defensive linemen. You know my philosophy. Probably need to have about 15 O-linemen in your program. I like his size, his length, his arm span, and he plays tackle, which is so important. As we talked earlier in the show, you've got to protect your quarterback. You got to have a guy that can move his feet. He's going to be going against some daggone good players in the SEC at the edge. Probably most athletic guys on the team are on the edges in the SEC.
Yeah.
So that's a big pickup. I like his age. He's got experience. He's not a young person coming in. Does it say where he's from originally?
He's from Oregon originally. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
from out west, which is impressive.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, have to get used to the humidity, but that won't be a problem. But I think it's a good pickup. And another thing I like about this, wasn't a lot of talk about this kid, which you can't say anything now. Because the minute you mention somebody, somebody else is going to get on him.
Yeah, I know.
They'll steal him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he signed, and I'm sure he's going to have to be here now or very quickly to get in school.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, the fifth transfer coming in for Auburn on the offensive line to go along with the four guys you're bringing in through your signing class. We know of at least one returning guy on the offensive line for Auburn, and, you know, I'm sure fans are kind of mixed feelings on guys returning from last year off that offensive line, and we'll see what that number ends up being at the end. But there is some news as well about another guy visiting this week for Auburn on the offensive line from Maryland. Talk about a guy who's got some size. I believe his name is pronounced Alioubah. It's Alioubah. I have not had a chance to look up the pronunciation yet, so we're going to run with that and hope that it's right. But he is supposed to be coming to Auburn in the coming days, is what the reports are right now for the Maryland transfer offensive line. He is getting some offers and attention from Missouri, from Arkansas, a couple of SEC teams as well. Not official date yet to come to Auburn, but another P4 offensive lineman supposed to be visiting the Tigers as a four-star when he was in high school, 2022 class for him. He actually signed with Georgia and was there for a couple of years before he went to Maryland, played there for a couple of years, and then we'll have one year of eligibility left for him. And somebody that, again, you cannot miss this kid. Listen to the size here, Coach. We were just talking about a guy who's 6'5", 300. How about 6'6", 327?
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking about a guy that looks like a P4 SEC offensive lineman.
Right. You want him to get off the bus first when you pull up. But, yeah, again, you cannot coach size.
And, can't coach it. He's been eating some pork and beans, hasn't he? 6'6", 327.
Yeah, he's probably had a lot of – well, I don't know how fattening crab is up there in Maryland, but he's probably had some lobster rolls or whatever the heck they eat up there.
We were talking about the state of Tennessee. He's from Memphis, and he played at IMG Academy in high school. So he's got some talent.
Yeah, he's no slouch. And be another big pickup, another big guy, another probably a tackle. Is that correct?
Need to look a little bit more. I'm actually just seeing this as we go through. That seems like tackle size,
but not necessarily. But anyway, the portal closes tomorrow night at midnight. Is that
it's
correct?
Friday. Yeah. Tomorrow. God, today is Thursday. Yeah, tomorrow. So that is for players to officially enter their name into the portal.
Okay,
but all the hundreds and thousands of players that are in it,
can
still visit and commit and do the things you need to. You just have to have your name officially in there by tomorrow.
Okay, I didn't. Yeah. I tell you, this portal. But, yeah, so there'll be some more. Hopefully we'll get a couple of D linemen.
I believe he's an interior, so he plays guard, Coach.
Wow.
Yeah, he plays the guard spot.
You're going to have to roll out because you're not going to be able to throw over him hit him in the back of the head.
That's a problem we don't talk about enough.
That's right.
Huh?
Seriously, if you got a short quarterback.
Yeah.
Of course, hopefully they'll open the pocket and he can step up in it.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Or just create a hole for the run game.
Yeah, and again, I'm preaching, run the ball, and it helps your passing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, again, Auburn picks up an offensive lineman from Oregon State today, another one planning on visiting in the coming days. And how crazy was this, too? In the middle of this two-week transfer portal window, right, from January 2nd to January 16th, you had a dead period this week.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was a dead period.
Because of the National Football Convention, which used to be highly attended by everybody. When you were a coach in college or even some junior college, high school coaches, you attended the American Football Coaches Association
convention. No matter what level or what
yes,
coach you were?
Because you wanted to make contacts. Young guys were looking for jobs. You would have interviews. They had job boards. They had great speakers. You could learn. You could mingle. You could network. And it was a dead period. And you always see the coaches on the payphones back then.
Yeah.
Not only calling home, checking in with their wives, and lying about being in all the meetings and not at the local bar, but, you know, and calling recruits. You could still call them. But once a week, they cut everything out.
Wow.
And it was like 4 days. And now with the portal, they say it was poorly attended, and they're thinking about changing the time of the year for the convention.
Well, that would make sense. Either changing the convention or changing the dead period.
Yeah, we got to do something with the calendar. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that you just told me that the portal ends, having their name in the portal, ends tomorrow night at midnight.
Yep.
But they can still be in the portal and still go to visits. And that I thought it was all over Friday.
No, you just have to have your name
in. Plus,
you've
got
there.
High school recruiting.
Uh-huh.
And a signing date in February the 3rd, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Think about how crazy it was, though, just last year, the year before, and then the year before that, where there were two portal windows.
You had one
in December and the spring window after spring practice.
And that eliminated spring games. I don't care what anybody said. They talked about injuries. They didn't want a kid to have a great spring game. An Alabama call or
get
Georgia
yoinked.
Or Auburn say, hey, man, I saw the Georgia State Mercer spring game. I really like that running back.
Yeah, and speaking of spring games, I don't even think I've talked about this on the air yet between my show and this show as well. Alex Golish going back to a traditional spring game.
Good for him. But like you said, he doesn't have to worry about the portal. And I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great for everybody. You need to. I just can't imagine not having a spring game.
Yeah, I mean, especially the era you grew up in.
I'm so old school. And, you know, back then we had 20 days of spring practice. You could hit every day.
Did you hit every day?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Tennessee, on that old turf, take them to the ground.
Yeah.
Pat Dye hit every day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those days,
coaches talk nowadays of there's a balance of how much do we want to hit versus not hit.
You can't even have true two-a-days anymore.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with this country. The internet, social media, and no two-a-days. Woody Hayes said the United States should all go through 2 weeks of two-a-days, and we'd be a better country.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And so, yeah, Auburn announced earlier in the week that it's not just a day, it's a day week that they're doing. They have all sorts of events lined up, and they want fans to come in and be involved. And on Saturday, April 18th, will be Auburn's traditional spring game, is what he wants, a traditional spring game format, giving fans their first look at key returners and the newest Auburn Tigers in game action. But you've got events leading up, softball's in town that week. Weekend. Baseball's in town that weekend.
What a great weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Just pray the weather's nice, and I'm glad he's doing it. And as a player, you like the spring game after all that, you know, winter workouts and you know, all the work you put in. Now, you got to be smart. You can't play your best guy the whole spring game, and he'll monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that doing a 7-on-7 or a intramural spring game, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so, again, that's going to be Friday, April 10th, and through Saturday, April 18th. Again, softball, tennis, baseball, it's all going to be home. Your Kentucky Wildcats will be in town the weekend before there, Coach.
Uh-oh. But anyway, listen, let's be honest. Some families can't afford season tickets. This is the only chance they get to bring their kids to campus.
For a $10 game, absolutely.
Yeah,
I did it several times growing up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've even been places where we didn't charge maybe but a dollar.
Yeah.
And you know, the autograph sessions you had. To a young Auburn fan, there's nothing better.
With a fan base.
And to get people on our campus for down the road, it helps with students coming here. It helps with enrollment. Sometimes we cut off our nose to spite our face. I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah, it's a great point, especially with a fan base right now that's kind of up in the air on how they want to feel with about the program.
I think that's a smart move by him.
I think so, too.
I mean, if he just shut it down, we're not letting anybody in, we can't talk to this. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey,
it's still for the fans.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what A-Day was built for, is the fans, and that's what we are getting back to with Auburn in 2026. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Sammy, you are on the Thursday edition of the Drive. What's on your mind?
Guys, what's going on?
Yeah, happy Thursday.
That is great. Coach, I've been sitting here giggling for the past hour and a half. just laughing my rear end off at all this. But, Coach, tell the story. I think you were at Montana State when some of your GAs went out and dug up a bunch of Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. True story. we were living in a little bitty apartment, and it snowed about 50 days in a row. My wife was ready to leave me and move back to the South, and she said, we don't have a Christmas tree. So, you know, it was during, you know, early December, and I mentioned it to a couple of GAs. We were out having a few adult beverages, and the next morning my wife opened the front door, and there was a huge live Christmas tree cut down against our door, probably about a 7-footer. But we went outside, and my wife come running back in and said, Don, do you know what they did? And I said, what? I guess they went out in the woods and got it. She said, no, look across the street. There was a row of beautiful trees, and right in the middle there was one cut down. So we got that thing in the house and never said another word. True story.
It's so great.
I love you, buddy. I love you and miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys, too. I hope you all have a good night. That was so much fun. Have a good time listening to the show. Have a good week.
Appreciate it, Sammy. Thank you for calling in, my friend. Bye. It's great to have you a part of the show. 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline, brought to you by Skybar. It's not the craziest story you have, though, is it?
No. Some of them I cannot tell, but...
I'll let you tell me some other time off.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that stuff I miss, you know.
The camaraderie,
And watching those young guys, you know, one of them's now a pro coach. That just goes to show you.
Wow.
As a young GA at Montana State, we were starving to death, but we didn't know it. We loved it.
Yeah.
Just great place to live. Bozeman, Montana's like...
Beautiful out there.
Now it's, again, there was not much out there in 1984 when I went, but now, or 85, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now it's... just a complete, unbelievable.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the Thursday edition of The Drive right after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Jacob Goins from On the Line on ESPN 106.7. This week's Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week is Lee Scott Academy.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins filling in. Coach Don Dunn here all week, man. He's done an incredible job. He'll be here again tomorrow. Believe Justin Ferguson in with you tomorrow, right,
yes,
Coach?
Yes.
Okay, you guys will have a good time tomorrow. Talking a lot of college basketball, previewing the weekend NFL playoff games coming up as well. Hopefully you guys are able to get into that a little bit. And then, as far as I know, Bill and Dan are back on Monday. And
supposed to be.
We'll see what happens there. But it's been a great show. We've had a ton of fun today. And if you've missed any of the show, any previous shows or any future shows that you cannot hear live, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of them either on our station website at espnau.com. That's For the Drive, and On the Line. That's my show that I host 2 to 4 with Christian Griffin each and every day before this one. So if you miss either one of those shows, you can check it out again at espnau.com in the podcast center. You can also listen to the shows live there each and every day, or by downloading the Radio Alabama app. You can tune in there as well. Coach, we got a couple of minutes, and we have previewed and kind of teased this all show long, but did you have a chance to read into some of the college basketball betting scandal that broke today?
Yeah, some of it just so frustrating, disappointing, sad, anything you want to call it, but it happens, believe me. And this is not the first time.
No.
I remember, and I know you're sick of me talking about Kentucky, but back in the Adolph Rupp days, they had a big scandal at Kentucky, betting, and they were doing
it. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, they were shaving points. They were that good. that they would say they were going to lose.
They could shave points.
49-50 or win. And I would never forget, as a young child, Adolph Rupp saying, well, they can't touch my boys. Well, they busted them a week later.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's so sad, but there's so much money. And now there's all this online betting. And, you know, I heard you in your show earlier. I remember buddies of mine going to the bookie.
Calling the bookie.
I know bookies.
Yep.
And especially,
that's dirty business, man.
We used to have a derby party in our neighborhood. My friends, they had a book.
Yeah.
Before,
I'd believe it. Yeah.
And it was a guy there.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. And it just shows you what money can do to people.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a gambling ring that was run by a group of people. One of them was a former NBA player that they were paying a group of college basketball players anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 a game to shave points and things like that. Yeah. They were paying them paying them pretty good. But you got to think, Coach, they were betting millions on these things and just making massive profits.
Did they not think somebody would notice those big bets on a school you never bet on?
Well, here's what's crazy is it started with those guys betting on the Chinese basketball games, okay? They started betting on Chinese basketball, and they were like, all right, we're pretty good here. Let's bring it to the States. So they were starting to bet on games. They had a list of schools, unfortunately.
Right.
Alabama State was involved here.
Yep.
Tulane was involved.
That shocked me.
Yeah, DePaul was involved. Yeah. That's a Big East team, right?
Yes.
But some of these games, they released some of the numbers. A 75-page document was released today.
How long has this been going on?
They've been on this for a few years, on this particular ring in itself.
Wow.
Guys that played.
Well, there was something a couple of years ago, too, right?
Yeah. They've continued to find stuff. You got documentaries out there now about it and stuff. And, they were placing bets of $300,000 and $400,000 on teams like Tulane to cover a first-half spread. And it's like, what did you expect? That's the biggest red flag in the book.
Yeah, if I'm a sports, book or whatever you call it, and you see something like that come in, out of the blue, it's kind of what happened to the guy at Alabama.
Yep,
placing a big baseball bet.
Yep.
Why are you betting on this game?
Mm-hmm.
And
with big money.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randomly.
Wow.
Yeah. So crazy stuff there. With players who have played on their current team as recently as last week.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's happening. It's been happening, and that's just this certain situation.
Another thing that coaches have to worry about and administrators.
Yeah.
We always had a guy come in and talk to our team at the beginning of two-a-days about gambling. We had some guys that had been in prison, busted for gambling, some hard-nosed like, the Sopranos.
Yeah.
And when that money's flowing and somebody comes to a young kid that doesn't have anything, they say, hey, you want to make $10,000?
And wouldn't you think in today's era of NIL with kids making so much money that they wouldn't have the greed?
But look at those schools.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Smaller schools. Smaller schools.
They're not getting it.
No, they're not getting paid millions to play.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, you said it. It's not the first, and it won't be the last.
No, sir.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is a legend. Coach Don Dunn, thank you for being here today. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for taking care of me, Drew. Thank you, buddy. One more day, Drew, if we can make it. Thanks again.
Yeah, of course. I'm Jacob Goins, host of On the Line with my buddy Christian Griffin. We're on the air 2 to 4 right here each and every day, filling in on the drive. All shows back tomorrow for Friday, okay? So until then, stay safe. We'll talk to you later.